How big is your God? That's the title. Have you ever gone into a position or a situation and you think, what on earth is going on here? Something's not right. It looks a bit messy. It wouldn't be like that if I were on the job. Have you ever done that? Have you ever gone in somewhere and thought, it kind of needs me a little bit? And sometimes when you look at a person's life, it can tend to be like that. What is really going on here? And I guess we've got to look at the sovereignty of God in it all, because God's in everything. And I think as we look at Joseph's life, we've got to look at it not as though God isn't in control, but God is in control and he knows what he's doing. This is the whole point of looking at the life of Joseph and drawing out things from his life, from God's word, by his spirit to speak into our life today. I'm going to ask Kerry if she'll just put up this reading. This is Romans chapter 11. And here it's talking about how, who can work God out? Who's ever given God counsel? He knows exactly what he's doing. He does everything that pleases him. And last week, as you and I looked at the life of Joseph, we looked at Joseph serving in jail. He didn't go into a pity party. He actually served other people. And so what we're looking at in the life of Joseph is the importance of waiting. What is God doing when things are difficult and things are hard? And if you remember last week, one of the things that I love about Joseph is he could have shared everything that he'd gone through. And what he did is he looked at these other two people, the baker and the butler, and he went to the chief official and he said, "Why are they looking so miserable?" And here's Joseph, he's not to blame, he's done nothing wrong. He could have had so much to kind of, oh, poor me, but he never even went there. He was more concerned about other people. And it told me such a lot about his attitude. Let's look at the next one, Kerry. This is what God gave as we look at this chapter. He gave Pharaoh two dreams. He gave Joseph the answer. Joseph, the plan of action, that's what God gave him. And then God gave Pharaoh permission to promote Joseph. God is in everything, is in every decision. But as we looked at last week, and it's kind of where we left off, Joseph, as we recap all that he's gone through, and you'd expect that God had done enough with him, getting him ready, getting him prepared for the next big thing. 2 years, another 2 years, and he didn't have a clue what was actually going on. Is it a dead end? If he's been betrayed, he's been sold as a slave, he's been falsely accused of rape, which in that day meant death, and then he's in prison, and then he's forgotten. I don't know if you've ever been in situations like that, where you've felt betrayed, you felt like you're in a prison, you're in a situation, you feel like you just can't get out of it, you feel like you've hit a dead end. And this was Joseph. Joseph, what were you doing in these 2 years when you knew you'd been forgotten? What on earth were you doing? I don't know what he was doing. All I do know is that God's at work in him. And he's preparing him for what he wants him to do, what he really wants him to do. And this whole kind of preparation. I know what it's like in jail. Not because I've been in jail, but because I've been in prison chaplain. I've worked in prisons. And some of these guys that are in jail, they either waste time or they kind of make it work for them. And the punishment today in prison is this, and this is a slogan, is that your freedom is taken away. A lot of people look at prison life today as we watch it on TV and we hear lots and lots of comments. It's like, well, it's not like prison used to be. And prison can be tough, but really what they're doing is taking away the whole freedom because they can't live how they want to. And sometimes prison is dull and it's monotonous and it's, you can't get out. John knows what it's like as an ex-prison officer. He knows what it's like. He knows what some of the things that these guys and these women have to go through. It's tough. It's difficult. Their freedom's taken away. And yet with Joseph, God's at work. If you know God, God is at work in you. all the toughness of life, or when we get frustrated, and it's like, God, I don't get this. I've come to a dead end. How do I get out of this? What am I supposed to learn of you? And I reckon Joseph must have got everything out and up to God. Why has this happened to me? It don't make any sense. And sometimes you and I go through things that to us just don't make any sense. But God's a lot bigger than us and a lot bigger than our circumstances. And he works in these as he's working in us. It got me thinking about sometimes the tough things in life. And I've kind of written a few things down. The mysteries of people who get cancer and they respond to chemo and another person doesn't. Children that are born and there's difficulties with that child, and yet the next kid in an incubator, they're perfectly healthy. Some families who seem to go through things all the time, trials and tribulations, while other families, it seems like everything they touch, it just turns to gold. All these mysteries in life. And one of the things that I've noticed, and maybe you've noticed as well on TV, is the things that happen, the accidents where the kind of people who should be guilty have got away scot-free, and it's the innocent who seems to suffer, all these mysteries in life. And yet God is just working it all together. He sees a lot bigger than us. He sees the big picture in everybody's life. This is what John Piper said. Every day, God is doing perhaps 10,000 different things in our lives that we're never even aware of. I reckon sometimes in our life, and looking into other people's lives, it's a little bit like as a kid. You know when you go spying on somebody and you're looking through a keyhole? Have you ever done that? Can you just put your hands up if you've ever done that? Put your hands up if you still do that. No, please don't. But you're looking through a keyhole and you can only see just a little bit. And when you look through a letterbox, you can see a bit more. And when you open a door, you can see everything that's going off in that room. And I reckon sometimes in our lives, it's like looking through a keyhole. And when we're looking into other people's lives, I'd love to be able to understand what you're going through, but I can't. We can empathize, sometimes we can sympathize. But this is it. I think Joseph didn't really have a clue what was going on. But do you know what he did? He just said, God, I see you bigger than this. God, I see you bigger than prison. God, I see you bigger than being falsely accused. God, I see you bigger than this, and I'm going to trust you. I don't know what you're doing, but I'm gonna trust you. I think Joseph knew that God knew what he was doing, and he was preparing him for a future that only God could see. So when we look at the sovereignty of God, let's look at the next one. God gave Pharaoh two dreams. Number one, this is a Pharaoh who worshipped as a god. He was the ruler at that time. And God gave Pharaoh two dreams of seven fat cows coming up out of the Nile, and then these seven skinny cows that devoured these fat cows. And he woke up and he kind of thought about it and he went back to sleep. And then he had another dream of a stalk with seven fat plump heads of grain. And then the seven shriveled heads appeared and devoured the seven plump heads of grain. We'll look at the next verse, verses 7 to 8. It says that Pharaoh was troubled. Now, I don't know if you've ever been troubled where you can't sleep. And this is what Pharaoh did as we look at this verse. Who did he send for? He sent for his magicians and his wise men. These were all the kingpins over the land of Egypt. People who thought that they had the answer. These wise men. And none of them could help Pharaoh understand. Do you know why? Because God gave Pharaoh the dreams. So these magicians and these other people, they couldn't answer. They couldn't answer Pharaoh what was going off. And it's the same as today regarding the things of life. Because God's made us and we're made in his image and he knows everything about life. And what do? We turn to tea leaves and we turn to mediums and we turn to star signs and we turn to all that rubbish that can never give us answers. Just like here, these magicians, they can never give us answers. And know you on yourself, if when you come to know Christ, your searching stops. Because you found the answer to life. And you don't need to keep searching. And here, this Pharaoh, I think he kind of figured out that they could never deliver. They couldn't do it. They had no answers. Who can tell about God apart from somebody who knows God? These are the things when we look at Jesus, because God has given Jesus as the answer to mankind. He's full of wisdom, full of power, the salvation. And Anne, what's your name again? Jane. She looked like an Anne with my glasses on, but now she looks like a Jane with my glasses on. She said about Jesus saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." That's what Jesus said. Now, if Jesus said that, he's either telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth, or he's a big fat liar. If he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but by me," is he lying, or is he speaking the truth? Let's look at the next verse. God reminded the cupbearer about Joseph, verses 12 to 13. It was God who reminded the cupbearer. At just the right moment, this guy remembered. Why? Because Joseph was ready. Who likes baking cakes? Ian, do you like baking cakes? Remember that? But Carol, remember him? He's a cake baker. Anybody else like baking? My wife and my daughter loves baking, and I often get told off for doing this. Going to the oven, looking in, and opening it. Oh, goodness me. What have you done? It's all going to be sunk, and we'll have to do it over again. And I just do it purposely now, just to be told off. It's in fact, to be honest, when Ruth's away from home, I usually just go upstairs and tell myself off in the mirror just to make myself feel at home. Anyway, I don't really. But the temperature, what I'm getting at is the temperature. God put it into the mind of the cupbearer to remember Joseph at the right time, at the right time when Joseph was ready, not before. And God has his time of preparing us for things. And it's often through difficulty. Why? Because that's when we have to lean upon him more. This is what we were talking about this morning. About leaning on God more in our difficulty. And this is what happened here with Joseph. It sometimes in our life, the oven door in our life, we often pull it open. And we've got to keep things shut because that temperature, God's... He's doing things in us. He's making us. He's preparing us. And Joseph is called to see Pharaoh. He's shaved and he's clothed. And all of a sudden now we've got this Hebrew slave standing in front of this incredible king. And he stands before this man who kind of is ruling the land at that time, one of the most powerful men on earth. And in this crisis, he don't know what to do. And he hears about Joseph. What do we do in our crises in times in life? Where we've got decisions to make. Where there's maybe a job that you hate doing. And we're going through it and we don't know what to do. We've got to cry out to God because God has got the answers. And sometimes you and I go through things. I could tell you maybe three things in my life that I've had to learn to weigh. One of them were down the mine. I'd love to get out at a certain time. And God said, "No, I want you to stay. There's things I'm doing in you. But God, I hate this. I know, but Pete, I'm preparing you." And so sometimes in our life, when you and I are really going through it, it's just knowing how to trust God and to stay chilled until he says, "Okay. Now we're ready. Now we're ready to move. Trust me in your difficulty. I know what I'm preparing you to do." And in verses 14 to 16, the next one. "Joseph, you can interpret my dream because I've heard you do it for another two guys before." And this is Joseph's reply. "It's not in me, Pharaoh. But God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer." I love this bit. Out of the whole chapter, and this is what Joseph's saying, "I am taking no credit here, Pharaoh. Because it's God who's the answer. It's God who gives dreams. It's God who gives interpretations. It's God who speaks. It's God. And I'm learning this now after all this time. I'm not here to get big-headed. And so Joseph refuses to take any kind of credit. And then we look at the next one, verse 32. Let's read this together. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. What's that talking about? This is what it's talking about. When God says it, he's going to do it. In other words, don't mess with God when he speaks. This is what he's saying to Pharaoh. In other words, O king, you really need to take this seriously. Because God does. And I don't know if you and I maybe always take God seriously. We've just done Daniel. And just raise your hands if you've really enjoyed doing Daniel. Daniel's been an incredible book. And now we've just started 1 Thessalonians. And as we look into God's word, God never changes his mind. He never has to say sorry. His word is absolute. We can stand upon it. We can walk upon his word. He'll hold our weight and hold every problem that we're going through. He's underneath us. He's around us. But he'll never change his word. So you and I, we can just rely upon him for so much. God moved Pharaoh to choose Joe as the right man. We look at verses 38 to 40. Joseph gives the answer, and Pharaoh recognizes that God's at work. And he's at work in Joseph, and he's got the answers, but he also sees in Joseph someone who's so, so gifted. And so Pharaoh recognizes God around Joseph. Listen to Acts chapter 2, the people that were around, and most of you might know this, this is what it says, and they had favor with all the people. The church were doing something so special that everybody around, wow, there's something going off here. God's at work here. And God says that he caused favor with all the people around. The people in the community were looking at church people thinking, what is going on here? It's really special when God's at work in you and I. They found favor with all the people. Then, here we go. Just imagine this. Look at Joseph's background. Look at what he's gone through. And then now he's shaven, he looks a bit tidier, he's had a shower, and now from being in shackles in a disgusting prison, maybe a prison very different to what John worked in, and if you've done time, it'll be a completely different prison to what you've done time in, a stinky, awful, filthy type of prison. Now he's an important guy. Now he's second in command. Under Pharaoh. Can you imagine that? Where's all this training gone through? What's happened in this 2 years? This is what God's been preparing for him. Not just to be exalted to the second highest in the nation, but the way that God's going to now use Joseph for the people of the land. It's just incredible. This is what God does in our lives when we keep the oven door shut on our life and we kind of let God do his stuff. He's getting us ready, folks. He's preparing us for something. So I want to encourage you this morning never to be despondent, never to get down when you're going through the mill, because God is at work in us. And he knows what he's doing. This is what happened to Joseph. Pharaoh gave Joseph a signet ring, a bit like the king's credit card. This is what he gave to Joseph. He gave him linen clothing, which were a sign of royalty. He gave him a gold chain, which were a sign of authority. He gave him a chariot, so he was free to go wherever he wanted to go in all this vast land. They bowed down when Joseph passed on his chariot. In verse 43, listen to this. Pharaoh set him over all the land of Egypt. And then a wife came with the job. He didn't have a say in it, and maybe that was good preparation, because he won't get a say in anything else. That were a bit of a joke, really, but I'll let that one go. Thelma's got it. Giggling pin's gone. But He got a wife. I don't think he would even dream about all this. 30 years old. And it was 13 years before Joseph. You think back, he was looking after his sheep. And now he's the second in command of the greatest nation on earth. Joseph knew nothing of what was going on in his life. He couldn't have written this. He couldn't have put it together, even as a bit of a dream. But God was in charge, and he knew what he was doing in his life. God knew about the years of plenty. He knew about the famine. And then it says that people came to Egypt for bread. Verse 55, this is what it says. Pharaoh said to the people, "Go to Joseph. What he says to you, do it." Wow. He used to be a bum in jail. He used to be in shackles. He was just in complete darkness in this damp, awful, cold, stinky cell. And now he's the second highest in the nation. It's beautiful. And you know, something that's really stuck out for me is this. The way that he served God in jail, the way that he served God in Potiphar's house, is exactly what he's doing now. He's just serving God. Even if it's an elevated position, he's just serving God. That's all he's doing. And he learned how to do that when he was in jail. He learned that other people come before him. And so now he's got this high position and he's doing exactly the same. So serving became a lifestyle. Joseph and Jesus are very, very similar. In fact, if you look at Joseph's life, it's a big picture, if you like, of Jesus and him representing Jesus in who he is and what he's accomplished. I've written some down. Here we go. Joseph was a shepherd. When I say these words, just picture Jesus. He was loved by his father. He was hated and rejected by his own. He was falsely accused. He'd done nothing wrong. He was sold for pieces of silver. He was tempted, but he didn't give in. He was regarded as dead but raised up. He associated with two men, one was pardoned and the other wasn't. He showed compassion. He wanted to be remembered. He was full of God's wisdom. People would bow the knee before him. He had God's spirit. He was betrayed by friends. He was glorified after his humility. He was given a Gentile bride. I'm going to let you think about that if you want to study that. That's really interesting. He was given a Gentile bride. 30 years old when he began his true work. He was a blessing to the world. The world was instructed to go to him to do whatever he said. So many similarities to Jesus. And Joseph got a beautiful wife called Asenath and two sons. And verse 52 and verse 50 and 52, these are really important. "For God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's house." This was his first child called Manasseh. And this is what he called him for this reason. "God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's house." All that he'd gone through, God had caused him to forget. And then his second child is called Ephraim. And it says, "For God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction." Okay, if you just think about this for 2 minutes. God has made me forget. I think for me, he can still look back and he can still remember, because later on he's going to forgive his brothers and he loves his brothers and he loves his family. He'll never really he can look back and he can know what they've done. But forgiveness and loving people frees us, just like it did here with Joseph. "For God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's house." And right in the land where he were having it tough, it says, "God has made me really," and this is in Yorkshire terms, "God has blessed his socks off on a big scale in every way possible." And so all the blessings of God has far outweighed everything that he's gone through. And God is a God of blessing. Hallelujah. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ, and God pours out his blessing upon you and I day after day after day after day. And I think here, this is Joseph. the advanced growth. God has made me forget the pain of the past. Spiritual progress. I've put this. This is the next one. I can't go back and I can't stay here, so I must go forward. And you can see that in this beautiful guy. 13 years. Not a clue what was going on. No idea what was happening. But God was preparing him for something really, really special. What I love about this is that fruit takes time. Growing fruit takes time. Producing fruit takes time. And sometimes you and I want it to happen really quickly. I ain't got time for this. I want it to happen now. I want patience now. I want to learn it now so I can move on quickly. And in God's diary and in God's timing, it don't work like that. 13 years, Joseph didn't have a clue what was going on. 13 years, but now the fruit begins to be evident. You see, God won't speed grow you and I. When you eat a tomato and it don't taste of a tomato, or you've got roses that don't smell of roses, that don't smell nice, it's because they've been speed grown. And it loses their quality. God won't speed grow you and I. He produces quality, and it's quality in character. But this is what happens. If we keep the oven door closed on our life and we don't keep opening it to have a look and see what's going on, so we lose all that atmosphere and all that God's doing, is that when we keep that and we've gone through these periods of time, then God accelerates us. Then God moves us, and there's a real quickening, just like he did with Joseph. Now, Joseph, you're ready. Now you're ready, Joseph. I've worked in you. I've refined you. I've been at work in you. I've been preparing you. Now, Joseph, now's the time. And he didn't take any credit either. He didn't say, look at me. Look how rich I am. Look what I've got. He just credited everything to God. Such a lot to learn from this guy. So I guess, again, how big is your God? On a Sunday night, we've been doing a series on God the Holy Spirit, looking at his character, looking at what he does, looking at God's will within our life. And it's the first mention in the Bible of God the Holy Spirit upon a man. And it's this man. It's Joseph. Listen to what it says in James. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be complete, lacking nothing. So gifts and talents are good, but they're not really effective without character. And we can see that God has produced something really, really special in Joseph. And this is what he's doing in us, is at work in us, even when we fail. Even when we open the oven door in our life, is God's patient. And he's loving, and he's kind. There's one thing, just before we close. Sorry, two things. Before my wife tells me off, because she usually tells me off for saying one thing, and then you're 10 minutes afterwards, and then you go into another thing. So I'm going to say two things. One thing is this. Joseph was a real man of God. And God used Joseph to speak the future into Pharaoh's life. And God used Joseph to lead and to guide Pharaoh regarding everything that were ahead. God used Joseph to do exactly the same for the butler and exactly the same for the cupbearer. He knew about their future. He knew what was going to happen. But for himself, he didn't have a Scooby-Doo what was going on. And I think there are times in our lives when God has been using us in a great way. He will keep us from things to stop us getting begetted. Joseph couldn't say, I know what's going to happen to you, and I know what's going to happen to you, Pharaoh, because do you know something? I know what's going to happen to me. And God never told him. Do you know why? Because God was using Joseph to serve other people. And in serving God, he's serving other people. And that's what he did in prison. That's what he did in Potiphar's house. And he continued to do that as the second highest in the nation of Egypt. Say the last bit after me. Are you ready? Seek first the kingdom of God.
Seek first the kingdom of God.
Okay, the last bit. Big capital letters. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So many people want this last bit. But the first bit is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. To me, Joseph could have had that tattooed on his arm. Seek first the kingdom. Here we go. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Sometimes we want the desires of our heart to be fulfilled. But first we've got to delight ourselves in him, because then God puts them delights. He puts them answers. He puts them things within our life first. Delight yourself in the Lord, and then he'll give you the desires of your heart. That's one thing. I'm going to close with this. And you might have heard this story, but I think it's so apt for us this morning as we look at the life of Joseph, about being prepared, about God's time. There were a man, and he were married, and he had two children, and he were a really godly man. He loved his wife and he loved his kids. And he went faithfully to work every day, and he'd come home, and he was the kind of picture that, you know, everybody was jealous of. What, he got everything together. And then one day, as he came home from home, the Lord were in the garden waiting for him, and he said, "Son, I so admire you." He said, "Son, I so love you, the way that you love your wife, the way that you love your kids, the way that you're faithful to me at work." He said, "It's outstanding." He says, "But there's one thing I want you to do. Every day when you come home, I have placed this big boulder in your garden. And every day when you come home, before you go into your house, I want you to push against this rock." And the man said, "Okay, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do." So the next day when this man came home from work, before he went into his house, he began to push against this rock. And he did it the next day, and he did it the next day, and he did it for a few weeks, and then he continued to do it for a few months. And after a while, this man got frustrated because he couldn't move this rock, and he got discouraged. And then the enemy came and said, "You're a weakling. You're an absolute waste of time. You can't do what God's calling you to do. Why don't you just throw it all in?" And he got really down. And one day this man was coming home from work, and the Lord were waiting for him. And he said to him, "Son, why are you down? Why are you discouraged?" He said, "Lord, I've been doing this for a long time, and I've just had enough because I can't move this rock." And the Lord said to him, "I didn't ask you to move it. All I asked you to do was push." And he said, "Stand back and look at yourself." And this man stood back and he looked at himself, and he was rippling in muscle. And the Lord said to him, "Now we're ready. Let's move on to the next one." Sometimes it's just hearing God right. God never asked him to move that rock. He just asked him to push. Folks, God's at work in you. He's at work in me. Even when it's tough and it's difficult, and it might seem you've gone through things for such a long time, but God's preparing you for something great. Let's pray. Time's gone. Father, thank you for the life of Joseph. Thank you for your word, which is truth. We know that you're at work in us, just like you did with Joseph, that you were preparing him for something great. You were refining him, and Lord, we know that that's what you're doing in us. Just getting rid of the rubbish, Lord, and we know that it takes time. And Lord, you know, we don't want to be speed grown. We want to produce the character that's going to glorify you. So Father, thank you. Thank you for this church. Thank you, Lord, for everyone here. And I just pray now your blessing and your peace and your grace by your Spirit on every person here. Lord, thank you that you love us enough not to leave us alone, but to make us more like Jesus. Father, we just want to glorify you. Thank you for all that you mean to us, in Jesus' name. Amen.